I'ma help the people close to me. They help the people close to them and then hopefully. Friends of they friends, friends heed the notion. We started off locally and now it's changed globally.
What's going on, y'all? We're back with another Unguarded Podcast. This time is an AMA. Ask Me Anything with me, the founder of Evolve, Jory Davis. What's going on, Hyun?
What's up, Jory?
Different vibe this time around for the podcast.
Yeah, how you feeling about this episode?
I think it's a good opportunity for me to, try to reinitiate leading the way for like what we really want these podcasts to be, to just try to be, again, authentic, open, transparent as possible, provide value.
Yeah.
To some extent.
Well, can you quickly
platforms
bring us up to speed on where Weevolve is and what you and Julie have been working on?
Well, right now we are in the process of our last sprint for the app to be pushed again to the Apple App Store to go live. And so that's where we are right now. We're vigorously starting to look for funding, for our seed round of funding. In between the decision making of trying to see, do we spend time looking for grants? Do we spend time maybe looking at an accelerator? So really it's just been a lot of trying to balance getting back involved with the community, but also understanding that there's a business side of it and we have to really start to make that work efficiently. So yeah, getting ready to go live and start getting players on there and start getting that feedback.
How do you feel about everything?
I mean, I'm nervous. Mm-hmm. I'm nervous. It's about to be another step of reality. Not many people believe that an athlete is going to do anything. And I know firsthand, like, there's been times, we try to get an athlete say, hey, we'll help with this. They come and then they fall off. So I am very nervous to see how do we incentivize athletes to engage. Is something that I know we'll have to figure out. But then on the other side, I also know we want certain elements and stuff of what we've always trying to do. But we're at a really vital part where we could completely fail because we assumed the community would pull up. And that's scary for me.
So it's interesting you say that that people say that athletes will not show up because in the media, that's all we're hearing, right? Is that more and more athletes are stepping into these places, they're investing in things, starting things, partnering up in things. So what has your experience been during this process with that?
Yeah, I think the media is focusing on the top 1% who has the leverage to go in front of camera and do those things. When they give these examples, they're not of players like me. All the examples are the same players, the top ones, the ones that have won on the biggest stages, the ones that have the most money, the ones that have the best agents, the ones that have all the endorsement deals. I haven't seen examples of a player like me when they talk about this. So yes, it's out in the media and they're saying it's changing. I understand trickle down effect. I do understand, like, it starts at the top, then it starts to trickle down. So maybe that's going to happen. But I don't see many examples in the media of people like me.
But do you feel like it benefits you when these things happen? Is it become easier? Like, have you sat in meetings and people are like, oh, kind of like so-and-so, and oh, okay. Are people more willing to sit down with an athlete than... you've been working at Weevolve for what, like 5 years now?
Yeah. I think it does truthfully bamboozle people who don't know, who are not informed of the different levels. There's levels to this. So they know, they see LeBrons and they see KDs investing and stuff. And because they're not educated and they don't know the rest of the world, the G Leagues, the overseas, the Canadian basketball leagues and stuff, they assume we have the same prowess or as those other athletes that they see and they're reading these articles about. So yes, to be 100% transparent, sometimes you can bamboozle one of those individuals because they don't really know the truth. Others who are informed, obviously they're intrigued because they do see it happening, like I said, the top 1%, and they're like, I wonder if this could trickle down. But they're not convinced yet because they do understand that 80% of those endorsement deals that's covering all the money they're saying is going to be in branding is only a small group of athletes. Yes, the market for branding and commercialization is huge. But if you look at the numbers, it's only a few players that make up for all that money coming in. So these platforms thinking they're going to get all these players, it doesn't make sense because you can't give anything to them. Because the money to begin with was never going to them. So, I mean, it does help our cases we've all, because there is a potential that it could trickle down. There is potential that someone like Jory can play the game, but they haven't figured out how a Jory Davis plays that game.
Well, you guys have met with a lot of people. Like, what's been the, what's that thing that holds people back from being like, okay, like I'm down. I want to back this. I want to invest in this thing. What are they?
Athletes. They just want to see us launch. They want to see that we can onboard athletes and see that athletes actually sign up. That's our next step. Like, they're like,
so it's not so much the product.
Mm-mm. No, they're very intrigued with the product. Mm-hmm. They're very intrigued with the partnerships we've already been able to get. Intrigued with the meetings and the people that are also interested. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, you know, like, let me see, can you play? Like, I see your body. I see the muscles. You know, I saw the 40-yard sprint that you did.
Right. I saw your highlight.
Yeah, yeah, I saw your highlights, but like, let's put you on the court in the real game and see what happens, because what we're trying to do is not in the market. Well, it is. It's, you're starting to see it a lot. You see a lot of these athlete networks, retired athletes, or did you play high school? You see those. But how we've structured our platform and our business model, it's a little unique. So they are interested. They are engaged. It's just we're early. And then let's see what happens. Let's see if an athlete pays. Let's see how many service providers are paying, that type of stuff.
So then do you believe that athletes will show up?
I do and I don't.
Okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the part that you do and the part that you don't.
Yeah, it's been a real struggle. Because part of it, I thought, we have to make it seamless and easy. But, you know, the more we actually talk to other business owners and stuff, they're like, remove athlete in general. Just people just don't take action. And so it's just been realizing, like, just because we're athletes and we have this community doesn't mean we won't have to deal with the same things that every other platform deals with people and getting them to take action. I believe athletes do want this. I mean, you look at the comments, they do want a solution. How do they want to take part in the solution? That's the biggest question now for me. I know they want certain stuff. They want to know more about salaries. No, they want to see contract stuff and know more. Are they willing to take part in creating that solution? I don't know. Okay. We're going to have to see.
So when you say solution, what is the problem?
The problem is we don't have the data, the insights, the transparency around, of course, salaries, contract stuff, etc. What's the solution to open that up, to make it more transparent? How do we get that? Okay, do we try to go to a league? Do we go to the agents? The only other option and the best option is we have it and we anonymize it and we open it up and everybody support in that way. That means now the solution is us.
Sharing contracts and whatever information that could help another athlete.
Yes. And a lot of people, we've had calls and they're like, yeah, for sure. I get it. Like, no, we need this. send that contract, and it's like, you know, a few people do send it, but yeah. I also get it. It's very it's something that, like, it's not usually normalized. So I get it, understanding how do we make it where it's easy and they feel more secure with sending it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then it's like, all right, I got to chase someone down. That's not scalable. The moment you have to chase someone down and constantly, that's not scalable. It's not. So,
do you see a difference between the people who do and who don't? Is it like, you know, more veteran players or younger players or second league players? Like, is there something in common?
Mm-hmm. Some of the younger players quickly give it over. And then demographically, Caucasian players give it over and more transparent than my people of color.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a cultural thing as well. People of color are they don't give it over. Someone, our allies, they give it over quicker. They're more open. They're more transparent. They don't have that issue with saying, hey, yeah, I make this much.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also a thing. But when you look at our sport, we're starting at basketball. Most of the athletes are people of color. Right. So
have you noticed the difference between American versus non-American?
We haven't really actually really asked them that much yet.
Okay.
The Europeans.
Okay.
Male,
female.
We've connected with that's been pretty what for the ones that have been open to give. Mm-hmm. So again, a lot of Caucasian women, they're like, hey, I'll give it to you. Let me ask my friends, give it to you. And then it's been about what with also the males that are willing to give, that actually did it. Not necessarily said, yeah, I got you. I'll send it over. There's more, again, Caucasian men that actually did it compared to men of color who said, yeah, I got you, but never did it.
And what do you attribute that to?
I don't know. Maybe it's the black community has a number of things that they deal with. Maybe it's not wanting to really truthfully let someone know what they really make, or, you know, maybe making it clear that it won't have your name tied to it, but maybe they know I'll know. So that's where I think having the software where I'm not even attached to it, where they completely know it's going in, not having their name, I think that will lead to more success compared to right now. We have to take a manual approach to get enough to start the engine, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's tied to an ego thing and maybe not wanting someone to know the truth.
Hmm.
Because when you see some of the contracts, you see the truth. Like, it's there, but also making everyone know it's not about to be like Glassdoor. Like, it's still going to be a closed community. So fans and all these other people won't see this stuff. It's for us. It's for those in the industry that needs to, you know, make better decisions and understand their worth. Because I get someone thanking you making $1 million is leverage. Someone thanking you worth $1 million gives you more leverage than when they like, oh, you're not making $1 million. You only making this much. I completely understand not wanting to lose that leverage.
And how have you felt and dealt with the times when you feel like people haven't come through after promising to do so?
I mean, I don't take it well, because, obviously, because I'm very passionate. And so, but I've just been really trying to really detach myself from what I want, truthfully, what I want right now to be able to do and see this stuff, and just say, like, okay, this is what's actually happening, to try to be as clear as possible. Like, okay, this is what athletes are doing, not what we need to do. This is what we are doing. Can we build a company? Can we scale based on what they are doing? And if players won't give and won't do XYZ, it's a business. And that's been the hardest thing for me, to just be like, that's what we have to do. But I think every community, if we take again, people of color, we've been, you know, again, there are a number of fights that we felt if we come together, we can overcome. And have we ever done it? No. So it's like, and there's been a number of leaders that came for that community to try and do things. And most of change comes from the people just fucking coming together and doing what we want to do. But does it happen? So I'm in that boat as a leader or as someone trying to lead. I can't take that personal. I have to just look at the facts and move forward. And that's what I've been trying to do without taking it personal and getting in my emotions of why people aren't doing X, Y, Z.
Are you able to separate that? Like, because some of these people you probably know on a personal level, you've hung out with them, you've spent time with them, and they're like, yeah, I got you. Like, I'll send you this thing. And then they don't. Like, how do you say, okay, that's business. I'm still going to be cool with this person. Like, I'm not going to ignore them if they hit me on WhatsApp. I mean, maybe you do for a day or whatever, but you know.
I mean, when people don't come through and then I see them 2 days later on overseas takeover, overseas fits, complaining in the comments, you know, I'm just like, you're not solid. Do I stop hitting them up? No, because I'm understanding it's not an athlete thing. It's a human thing. Humans, that's what happens. They love to complain. We love to complain. We love to say all this stuff, but what's the solution? Not many are willing to take action and find a solution, but the easy thing is to complain and say, I want X, Y, Z, but when it comes time to actually be a part of the solution, it's crickets. And that's a human thing. It's not an athlete thing. And I think that's just what I've been trying my best to learn through this experience. And I think it's something that's important for me to learn, you know, regardless of what I do as I continue down just entrepreneurship or as I get going into the world of working and stuff. Like, yes, there's things I know could be changed, but some stuff you just got to let go and be like, this is the solution. But if people don't want to do it, then what can you do? All you can do is say, hey, I've tried to create something. Are we willing to take action? No, let's go. But I think it's hard. Like, yeah, I get mad, but I don't stop following them because I just realize, like.
So what are some, I guess, some surprises that you have encountered or you've learned along the way? Some things that you didn't expect.
I mean, one was, you know, a surprise again for me was that I see that we do have non-athlete allies. Again, understanding that, of course, it was, I see red with anybody in the industry that was an athlete. And my perspective is changing, you know, like those that aren't athletes that are in the industry, the passion, the reason they're in the industry because of their love for the game and passion, even though they weren't able to compete at a high level, doesn't mean we don't have allies who do want the best for us. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the biggest surprise for me was really checking myself to be like, okay, again, it can't be all athlete because there's people pulling up and doing more work than some athletes in the space. And then like the flip side, there's athletes that are service providers or people working in the industry that are also bamboozling athletes. So it's like, again, a lot has been me learning, really checking my own assumptions and prejudices around athletes not getting what they deserve, but also like, do they deserve, you know, because this individual who didn't play at the highest level is putting in a lot of work and effort and sacrifice. Outside of that, I mean, you know, the biggest surprise too was just, again, the how many athletes will say I'll do this, but don't pull up. That's been a big one, you know, because my just natural like, oh yeah, this is gonna happen, but it doesn't happen that easy. Like, you really do have to intentionally build out processes, build out funnels the same way every other company has to do that. to get people to take action. And that's something that, you know, we assumed we had this special advantage in, but we don't.
Right.
We have to take the same actions as every other company when it comes to a customer or user.
Well, you've mentioned this before, and I think, I don't know if you meant specifically as you as a person, but, or you as an athlete, but I think you've mentioned that you felt like sometimes the fact that you or you prevented, may have prevented some people from participating or from, you know, commenting or, you know, whatever the case, whatever kind of ask was put out there. Do you mean that as you as Jory Davis, or do you mean you as an athlete? Because sometimes that can happen too, right? Where people can be like, oh, this looks like a legit company, and it could just be nobody that has any sports affiliation. And they're just like, oh, yeah, like if they're behind it, then it must be legit. And if it's an athlete, you're like, eh.
Yeah, I think it was a mix. Yeah, that, you know, EK posted something the other day. Like, if he sees a player got signed and he, like, you know, low-key kind of hating because he not signed. It's like, how many players have thought about this idea? A lot. Not the whole idea of Wevolve, but let's say the reviews and rating, which is the most common one that I've seen a number of athletes try to do. If you see me doing it, what about, you know, that same hate, that same competitive nature can come up. And it's like, maybe is that why companies that have no real athlete behind it, and it's a businessman, just speak using the terminology of the culture to get you onboarded, you'll do that before you actually back an athlete. The same with our community, Black community. I mean, it's the same stuff. You know, they'll be like, you'll go buy this person's stuff, but you won't go buy your own. That was more so like, if me being the forward facing, is it helping build or could it be hurting us? I don't know. That's truthfully a question we'll just have to ask the community, and if they're willing to be truthful, or we do some tests to see. I see both that could be true. It could be helping, so because they see, hey, this is a real athlete, or it could be hurting. I don't know.
And what about the fact that you and Julie are still playing? You think that's been helpful or hurtful? Or maybe I think, in which ways was it helpful and which ways was it hurtful?
I think the ways that it's been helpful that Julie and I have still been playing while building is one, from the business side, the investor side, the stakeholder side, it's attractive because of the story that can be told, because we actually still in it. It gives us leverage to get calls, because it's like, are you going to deny an actual player who you're supposed to be servicing? Like, that looks bad. The negatives of it has been maybe investors are kind of like, how you going to, you need to stop playing to do this.
What's your response to that?
That I think it's a positive. Like, if we become a retired athlete, which we've heard from a number of retired players that, yes, what you're saying is true. You can't put a stat on it and show data points, but they're like, I'm telling you, the moment you say you used to, or I played, or I'm retired, it's just a different feeling when people approach you compared to I currently play. That is an advantage. And we try to tell them, like, at least for launching in this first phase, like, it's better for us to be like, we're playing, because we're still there. We're still in the games. We're still in the locker rooms. We're still active players, and we can still possibly get meetings that once you retire, they have no incentive to actually need to talk to you. Because we know that once you're done, the industry's over with you. You have no value now to them.
Right. Speaking of value, how, I know you guys have talked to several agents. What's been the general consensus on their thoughts on what you're building?
They agree it's helpful to them because Wevolve would technically be doing the work that they don't do. The biggest issue is that they think we just going to do the work for free. Like, we just some good group of people that want to help. And like, hey, you need to educate players on this and do this and do that. And I'm like, yeah. And at what are you giving back because we're technically helping your clients. Mm-hmm. Some agents believe that salary transparency should be a thing, but they also are like, athletes have the salaries. If they want it, it's not our responsibility. They have it too. Again, that's how they feel. The agents say, I'm tracking my salaries. I'm tracking the market for my job to know the best I can. The players have the same right. Mm-hmm. So there again, that's when it comes to like, we're not doing anything to stop them from knowing. They are doing nothing to know. So they're not against that part. The contract element, of course, when it comes to educating players, quality agents agree because it'll make their job easier. So, I mean, a lot of quality agents is another surprise, I guess, for me, was that we do have agents that feel like, hey, this would be a good service. Now it's just how do we figure out the business model that includes those agents that are allies for what we're doing? That's mm-hmm. the next phase. How do we maneuver that? Because, you know, agents want all the players. So, like, if we have 50 validated Weavolve agents and we have talent, now what? Now those 50 say, well, I want that talent from Weavolve. No, I want that talent. Now we have a problem because that's not what we're here for. So, yeah, the start has been good to find agents that we know are LIs who are maybe willing to give those salaries anonymous that they also know of. So that's been a great thing for us. It's like, okay, we can partner with the agents on one thing, salaries, because it helps right. them. Some agents don't want it because it helps other agents to know the value of players in the market, which hurts an agent that does know all the information.
Right.
But yeah, we've had good feedback, I think, from the agents we have reached out to. But of course, there's some agents that they don't want any transparency. They don't want any of that because it takes away from their power.
Well, are there any that think that it could replace them?
Not really. They ask, are you trying to replace us? But they don't believe we can. Okay. So, you know, they know what we're trying to do, but they feel like you can't replace us. So I guess that ego and arrogance is good. Like, let them think that. That's fine for us at this moment. We'll see what happens in the future. We don't know.
But that's not necessarily the goal, right?
No. The goal is sports sustainability. The goal is better infrastructure and transparency for the player to be able to manage their career and make good decisions. The goal is not to replace them. That's not the ultimate goal. So.
And teams, have you guys talked to teams like GMs or owners, coaches?
Yeah. I mean, for teams, when it comes to contracts and salaries, that's not really something of interest to them at the moment. But, you know, when it comes to helping educate players, helping players know the area when they come to a new team, that type of stuff they're open for. Because, again, it's work they don't have to do or something mm-hmm. they don't have to worry about. But the only thing for the few teams we've spoken to thus far was more so around sourcing talent from Weavolve or utilizing the platform to manage their team outside of just WhatsApp. That's been of interest, of course, for them. It's just more so seeing what it actually looks like and going from there. So we haven't really tried to attack the teams so much until gotcha. We can first get past that union phase.
So outside of the obvious episodes with me, what has been the best part of building Weavolve?
I mean, the best part has truthfully been like learning all these new skills for me, truthfully.
Such as
just project management. You know, I think that's been this past month, 2 months has been literally I've been project manager, like constantly in Jira talking to the dev team, like learning how to write a ticket, how to communicate. So a lot of this process, truthfully, has really been a lot of learning for me. Learning.
So you've enjoyed that. You've enjoyed the project.
I mean, yes, of course,
process.
It's some headaches. Okay, and like it's tough because it's something I didn't go to school for it, or I don't have sure. experience. But but it's also been fun to see a thought come to life and now continue to reiterate and figure it out. I think that's been enjoyable to say, hey, like this was a thought. This was something we took pieces to puzzles and tried to make something seamless and come together. And that's been like fun. I think the other element that's been fun is just, I think again, the journey, like it's interesting to just meet new people and pick people's brain and understand the other side of sport that, again, we don't pay attention to when we're playing. So it's just been a fun experience to be more informed, to learn, and then see where the gaps are that we're trying to fill. Problem solving, I guess, you know, problem solving for me is fun. And so I think those have been the two things for me that's been enjoyable. But I will say it's been very stressful and trying to learn how to better communicate, being clear, working with offshore teams.
Has it been more stressful than you expected it to be?
I think I read a lot before saying I'm going to be an entrepreneur. So I knew everyone says it's stressful, high percentage of failure. Like I knew those things, but I think it's with anything in life.
Yeah,
you could read, but it's, you know, you got to go through it to know exactly how it feels. So I think I knew that at some point I was going to be in the same position that all these books and these entrepreneurs say. Now it's just like, you, nothing can prepare you to know how it feels firsthand. So it's like, I know I'm at that place that that book said, or that this entrepreneur on YouTube was saying, I'm at that place. How you get through it. Obviously everyone's going to be unique. My story, the getting through this phase, is going to be different than every other entrepreneur, or every other community builder. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, I expected it, but I didn't know exactly that it would be this type of feeling. It's just like, I know I'm at a phase where it's that phase where it's like make or break. Like, are we going to win? Or are we going to lose? Or are we going to not totally lose, but it's just a part of their process. I don't know.
Well, do you think building We've All Had has affected your playing career? Like, did it mess up your sleeping patterns or your eating pattern? I know you're doing calls at all types of hours of the day and night, right?
Because
you're talking to people from all over. Yeah.
Yeah. Building We've All definitely hurt my career. Like, for sure. Because my focus wasn't just I can go to the gym, eat, think about basketball, relax, and go back to the gym. Which is the typical routine when you focus on achieving a goal in a certain thing. Like, that's what you do. You're completely, fully immersed in that. With We Evolve, I can't. Like, I might have meetings until midday. Then I can maybe try to go get in the gym, get a workout in, but then I need to get back because there's things that need to get done. It's hindered my career, but also, if not at 34 and if I kept that same routine, how would that have hindered me? You know, it's like a trade-off. That dual career balance doesn't exist for athletes, truthfully. So it's like, at some point you got to choose to take the L with basketball, but definitely it's hindered it. But I think I've still been able to produce and do what I need to do, but you know, I know obviously that 100% thought process or focus on that building We Evolve does take away from it.
What's been the hardest lesson that you've had to learn during this process?
I think the hardest lesson is always back to me and my thinking over the process.
Go on. Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah. I think everything, like my thinking around agents were the problem, you know, like learning, like, okay, it's not just the agents.
Right.
My thinking of, again, athletes like just need this tool. That's not true. My thinking around my own community, the realities of my own community, and tying that back to the, again, the initiatives that people of color face away from just sports, but in general, and how some of those things are true without behavior. And having to sit with that and say, okay, what do I do now? like shit, that stuff is kind of true and I see it. And I still don't know that answer. Like, it's like, well, that sucks. That doesn't feel good. So what do we do? So I think the biggest thing that I've learned is really checking myself of what I assumed or what I thought to be true in this world around my communities, especially my two specific communities I'm a part of, and figuring out now, what do I do with that information? How do I move forward with that information?
It sounds good. I mean, it sounds like you've gone away from things, you seeing things in very definitive, I don't want to say black and white, because that goes into the thing, you know, it's either this way or that way, but that it can be both. Right. A lot of times it's kind of, it overlaps, like it's gray, more gray than that. But to wrap this up, let's talk a little bit about Julie. What's that been like working with Julie? You guys are very different. I mean,
yeah, very different,
you know, personality wise, all that stuff. Like, how has that process been? What has been some surprises in that regard as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, I mean, we'll have to have an episode with her to see how it's been working with me.
you know, that's never going to happen. I don't know why.
With Julie, it's just, again, I think we talked about this a long time ago. She's an introvert.
Yep.
You know, she takes time to process things. And so in this environment, sometimes, like, I'm the extrovert. And it's been just understanding that, hey, this is not Julie Lane. And it goes back to, like, yeah, she's my partner in this whole ordeal and we're going after it together. But then that's where I've realized, like, some things are still isolating because it's on me to handle, because that's not her lane. Her lane is other elements that will lead to We've All success, and understanding my responsibility as the extrovert, as the speaker, as the one forward facing, and not trying to push that on her just because I'm feeling a little pressure or feeling like I want a break. That's not her lane. And so it's kind of like, I've had to kind of really check myself and be like, this is my responsibility. I need to do this. I need to figure it out. And not just trying to push something on her because of whatever reason. But I think, like, we've balanced that. We've been transparent. We talk about it. If I am at a part where I'm like, I need your help on this one, you know, she does her best to say, okay, I got you. But, you know, there's some things that's not going to happen. Like, she's not about to get on the camera. Like, she's not. Like, she knows that people are right. Like, hey, you need to document or do this. But it's like, it's not going to happen. So,
yeah.
Acceptance. I think that's a big one. Acceptance. Yeah, acceptance. That's a big one for me, is that I need to accept some things are just what the fuck is going to be. No one wants to send the contract. Cool. Do we have another way to do something? If not, all right, we can't do that. And that's the same with our relationship. Accepting that that's not going to happen from Julie. I'll still ask just in case something changes.
Hey, you never know. Yeah.
If she says, I don't feel comfortable with that, cool. What's the next play? And I think that's been it. But we're transparent. And as you know, I'm going to say how I feel. and go from there. But I think, yeah, the other side of how she's dealt with me and my rashness and the extroverted side and stuff, that's more so a discussion for her. But yeah, we're completely different. Mm-hmm. Even how we process information, how quickly we move or make decisions. But I think it's a good thing because it's a balance between us. So
what do you think she does better than you?
I mean, definitely she's, you know, when it comes to more of the organizational parts,
yeah,
she's better at that than me.
Sure.
She has another layer of patience than myself. I think I am patient, but there's certain things I'm not so patient. And so she adds that layer. And then of course, because she takes more time to process stuff, maybe she's better at finding another layer of things than I am. So it can give other individuals a benefit of the doubt where I wouldn't have caught something. And so I think those skills are some of the things, you know, definitely organization, et cetera. Just definitely better at, you know, really doing those things compared to myself.
She might also have a better fadeaway than you. She does that one-legged Dirk Nowitzki fade, you know?
Yeah, her fadeaway.
I just wanted to say something nice about you, Julie, if you're listening to this.
Yeah. That's definitely better. That's and her, she yeah, definitely she runs is. Moves nonstop on the court better than me, for sure.
She'd be running. So quickly, what can people expect in the next, I don't know, month, 2 months?
Yeah, within the next month, the app will be in private beta testing. It'll be in the App Store. So again, you'll be able to join the wait list, of course. If you join the Contract Salary Coalition, you'll get early access to the app. And then, yeah, we'll have a group of our core community members. Shout out to the Await Session team. Y'all will definitely have that invite coming your way. And, you know, we'll start with our core community to really just start testing, to be our key group to tell us, hey, what's good, what's not. Mm-hmm. That's we're going to really heavily rely on them this first month, 2 months.
So who are you partnering up with?
So we'll be partnering with the EuroLeague Players Association. So it's the players union for EuroLeague players, and they will be our strategic partners for private beta testing with the union model that we'll have connected to Wevolve, and we'll have the EuroLeague players as well as EuroCup players, males, that will be able to onboard to the app and also start testing the specific union part of Wevolve with us. And so getting feedback from them will be vital. And we will do that over this season. And again, it is open to all athletes. You just have to, of course, join the wait list. Or like I said, you could get pre-approved for basketball by joining our coalition of helping, you know, increase salary and contract transparency in the space.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds like you're going to be busy.
Or the community going to be busy and we won't be as busy as
everybody's about to be busy. All right. Sign us off.
All right. Well, appreciate y'all as always for joining us, listening to the Unguarded Podcast. New season coming soon. Hope y'all enjoy this Ask Me Anything AMA session with me and my guy Hyun Kim. Remember to like, follow us, and also join that wait list or download the Wevolve app. And
how do you do that?
You'll basically go to the website, wevolve.net, get to the landing page. You can click join the wait list, or you can basically join the Contract Salary Coalition, and you'll get an invite direct to your email or telephone number with the code to join the Wevolve app.
Started off locally and now it's changed globally.
Thank you,
that's the way it's supposed to be. Single
thank
seeds
you.
Only grow the trees if left alone to breathe. So let's take some time to expose the weeds. Feeding off the roots of the culture. Vultures are next to you, convincing you to save in the forest when they direct crew.